Attention everyone, this is an emergency broadcast. The loud frequency coming from your radio is not a mistake. Do not turn off your radio, but instead turn up your radio as loud as it can go. Do this so we can broadcast this frequency as loud as possible.
And welcome to another episode of Game Stuff. I'm your gaming gal, Kalai. Now, this week I am joined by the grounded one, Corey. What's up, Corey?
Not much. Just got home and ready to record the most amazing episode you guys will ever hear in your life.
It does not have anything to do with the hydration that I'm doing right now.
Kalai's water source is high today.
It is. No joke tonight, as he didn't die. That's the good news.
His computer, just his Mac.
Yes, might have. So we'll see how that goes next week.
This is why you own a PC. He has a new computer.
Let me get some housekeeping out of the way. If you like our show, please subscribe and rate us and share us on all your social media feeds. It would be greatly appreciated. You can also check out our Facebook group, Game Stuff Podcast. Please come have a discussion with us on Twitter at GameStuffCast, as I'm told that we are now commenting on the news on our Twitter feed.
Yes, so our Twitter feed is going to be because, we've realized that a lot of people just talk about the news, and we want to keep it to being a gaming discussional podcast on whatever we feel like. And so in order to do that, but you guys also hear our opinion on the news, what we're going to do is just, you'll hear it on Twitter. So you can follow us at GameStuffCast, and that way there. If you want to comment as well, you can share your opinion with us on the news, and we'll try to keep up to things that affect us or things that we find we found interesting in the news. And then that way it doesn't bog up the podcast, and then the podcast can just be an ice cream truck on fire all on its own.
Also, if you like our podcast, go to our Patreon group. It's patreon.com/provengamer. Subscribe, only a dollar to get you started. It really helps us out. Believe me. So, with that being said, let's start this show how we always do. Corey, what have you been playing this week?
So this week, it's been an interesting week. So far, I didn't play many video games since the last time we recorded. I've been playing pretty much the same thing, Borderlands, Monster Hunter, because, you know, I can't stop playing Monster Hunter. I've also started playing The Division again. Now, with the announcement of Division 2 coming out, I want to finish Division 1 because I've never really beat it. So me, Joe, and Dante Da Silva have been really playing it. And then the other game is the open beta for Terra, as we're recording this, is live. Now, as you also know, if you've been following our Twitter, you can understand what's happening with the open beta in Terra. and so it's basically, as some people have been calling it, Crash Simulator 2018. But that's what a open beta is for. So I like the idea of what they're doing. I like the idea that they're keeping us updated. I'm really excited for another free-to-play MMO that actually plays quite nice on the PS4. And so I can't wait to play more of it. Possibly play a little bit later tonight if it's not so broken. But probably odds are I'll play Division or Monster Hunter. But Clyde, what have you been playing this week?
Well, this weekend the Sea of Thieves beta is going on, so I decided to jump into that. I got a whole 5 minutes. Because something was scheduled earlier today, and it was supposed to be scheduled for 4:30, but it didn't happen until 7:30, so I only got 5 minutes thinking that I had to do something. The first 5 minutes were the weirdest things I've ever played in a game. It was asking me, what type of ship? Do I want a small ship, or do I want a large ship? I said a large ship, because you know what? Bigger is better. Well, now I'm on this island. Now I can't figure out how to get off the island. There's no instructions to the game, because it's a beta. I saw some corporeal form out in the sea. I swam up to there and, do you want to join my ship? Sure. Now I'm on somebody else's ship. I'm playing with other people. I can talk to other people. And I was on their ship. They asked me to help raise the sail, so I helped raise the sail. They were spotting boats. So I got very confused at what was going on and left the game.
Yeah, from my understanding, that's actually the full version of the game.
Oh, I would believe it.
So from my understanding, like, that's literally how the game starts. There is no tutorial. It is literally, here you go. It's like a Dark Souls where it's like, oh, here's your jump. Here's your attack button. Okay, what do I need to do? Okay.
Yeah, but I don't know what to do. An attack button.
Okay. From my understanding, that's how the game plays. And from my understanding, when it asks you what ship you want to play as, it's more or less trying to figure out if you like single player or multiplayer.
Oh, interesting. Okay, that because I didn't understand.
Yeah, if you say big ship, then a big ship is usually run by four people, whereas a tiny, there are individual one-person ships. So from my understanding, a single person can run a whole big ship by themselves, but I think what it does is it prioritizes what server you go in based on your choice. That's what I've heard.
That's interesting to know. I've also played a little bit more of my Vita. I was playing Dragon's Crown. I came to a very interesting realization that I really like the Switch better than the Vita.
That's okay.
So we're getting closer to that Viking funeral.
Yep. Which, like I say, when that hits, like, you guys don't understand. When that, like, I've been talking about this Viking funeral forever, and nobody gets it. When it happens, it will happen. And you know what? It's going to happen on Twitter. It's going to hit Twitter first, then probably YouTube, then the world.
I also got back into Horizon Zero Dawn. Something I've been understanding about the game, I really like the gameplay. I am not as interested in the story. Like, I really don't care about the story. Mm. Which is the whole point of the game. And I feel that the whole having to craft arrows is a great addition to the game, but it also is a hindrance to the game, as I feel that it keeps pulling me out of the storyline, because in the middle of the battle, oh wait, hold on, everybody stop, I need to craft more arrows.
Is it pausing the game when you're doing it? Like, I've never played it, right? Like, which I need to, yes, I know. So do you pause the game and craft in menu, or is it like live crafting?
No, you can pause in game. So you pause, you go to the crafting menu, you make your arrows, and then you continue the battle.
Hmm.
So it almost pulls you out of the experience.
I guess, but it also, I don't know, I guess from my perspective of playing a lot of action-adventure games, that seems kind of normal to me, but I could be wrong.
I mean, I could be wrong too. Tell us what you think. Come into our Facebook group. Am I wrong?
I mean, like, Borderlands was something like that, right? Like, Borderlands is something where, I mean, you fight something and all of a sudden you're fighting a thing that has lots of armor. And it's like, oh, I need to equip a corrosive weapon. So you pause the game, go into your menu, grab a corrosive weapon, equip your corrosive weapon.
I never did that in Borderlands. I just used the menu to quickly switch between guns.
What's what I mean? But that's what I'm saying. So because there's four elements, right? Or five
right,
elements.
I know what you're talking about.
Five elements, if you count Slag. So then if you have it where you can just switch back and forth. I don't know, like, or if you run out of ammo, that was another big one. But I guess that's more, once again, like I say, for me, it's something where when you start playing to the point of where you're doing it more to beat True Vault Hunter mode and you're fighting things that are like OB level 1, you kind of need to do that. You can't just use whatever weapon. So I guess that's where the difference comes into. Skyrim also did that, though. You pause the menu and eat a bunch of bread.
That's true.
Eat 60 loaves of bread.
But Skyrim isn't really story-driven. You see what I'm saying?
Well, but it is. It's just differently story-driven.
Well, it's like, okay, here is your main quest. You gotta, you know, go after dragons or something. I don't even know. So, whereas this game, it's like, oh, you gotta help me do this. Let me fight by your side. We're gonna take this down. Hold on, stop. Could you please pause and wait while I craft arrows?
Yeah, but you're preparing for the battle itself, right? It's the same kind of idea as, like, The Last of Us.
Yeah, it's true.
But The Last of Us was real time, so when you were crafting, you were hoping to God there was nothing around you, because you'd be, right? I guess that's where the difference is that if they make it real time, like, Monster Hunter has a real time version of that as well, and a lot of time I'll be sitting there going, oh shit, I have to craft mega potions because I'm running out, or I don't have them equipped. And so I'm, like, trying midway through battle, running away from a TX, trying to equip freaking things, where I wish I could pause it and equip a potion properly and do that. And I guess that's where the difference comes in, is what version's better? I don't know. I guess it depends on your playstyle or the person you are.
Mm-hmm. I also think it depends on the storyline. If you have a really engaging storyline, you don't have to pause.
True.
Well, those are my thoughts. And, of course, I've been playing Monster Hunter. So we're actually going to talk about Monster Hunter as the topic of our show. Let's start with our experience. This week, I actually got to play with Corey and Joe. And it was the three of us playing Monster Hunter. And it was so much fun. We had a blast. It was hysterical. As Joe's like, come on, guys, I want to play. I want to play. And we're like, hold on, Joe. Wait a second. I'm trying to, you know, craft my item. Come on, guys, I'm bored. Oh, yeah, that's right. I have a Switch. I can use my Switch to actually go ahead and play while you guys do your stuff. I'm all right. Never mind. Take your time.
Kali, Joe privilege. I mean, Joe's list is going to be pretty small. I mean, he might have to take a lot of shots.
And then here's Joe. Oh, guys, I want to do this quest. I helped you. Come help me, Corey. And here's Corey. Of course I'll come help you, eh? I actually have to just do something really quick, eh? Just give me a moment, eh?
I don't say come on, Corey. That much. Come on. Just because I'm Canadian doesn't end my sentences with that. No, it was funny because Joe would just do whatever.
Let me finish my story. So Joe would be like, okay, I started the quest. Oh, okay, Joe, I'll be right there, eh? Oh my god, I'm in this quest. I need help. I'm dying. Oh, come on, Corey, help me out. Well, I'm a little busy right now. Well, when you needed help, I was there. What's the point of having friends if I don't have you guys to jump in with me? Come on, guys, I need help. Oh my god, I'm dying. Oh, I'm almost done, eh? I just have to finish this, eh? That is like what it's like playing Monster Hunter with Joe and Corey. I was in tears.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there's not much different than what Kali, other than the amount of A's used. I'm Canadian, but I don't say it that much. But as Kali, that's the good old, you know, good old American thought of Canadians. You just end everything in A. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah, but I do have to thank these guys. I mean, for them to come in and help me out, because they would be like, start the quest, because you have to watch a cutscene. And then I would be like, oh my god, I'm going to die. They're like, no, don't worry. They'd jump in and they would help me. And they really taught me a lot about the game, which is kind of what I want to talk about in this week's topic. Is I want to start with the culture of Monster Hunter, and then we're going to talk about the ad hoc and the lack thereof in the new game. So I've been playing Monster Hunter since Monster Hunter 4, when it was on the DS. Now, a game like Monster Hunter being a very heavy Japanese-influenced game, it's very scary when you've never played one before. Actually, I kind of started on 3 a little bit, but I really got into 4. I've gone to conventions and brought my DS, and people have come up to me and said, oh, what are you playing? And I said, oh, Monster Hunter 4. And they said, oh my god, I love that game. Let me hunt with you. We could play. It would be great. Well, now I'm scared because I don't know much about the game. I'm a level 1 or a level 2 hunter. I don't know a lot about the game. And I said, look, sir, I don't know if you want to play with me or not, but I really don't have a lot of experience. Don't worry. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know. And this gentleman sat down with me and taught me how to play Monster Hunter. And it's this kind of culture that I've never seen in a lot of many games. I think that has to do with the games I play. I mean, I played a lot of Call of Duty, and that culture, which is a culture of why are women playing video games, is so different than the Monster Hunter version, where it's, you know, let's help, let's work together, let me teach you stuff. Oh, you're looking for that weapon? Here's where you can find it. So what do you think about the culture, Corey?
I mean, it's something where the culture is quite interesting when we're looking at games like that. So I know with your experience, Monster Hunter's, your experience in that field, for me, it's actually, I got late into the game. Freedom Wars was another version of that, but that's where a lot of those games, like Freedom Wars, I'm trying to remember the other ones, God Eater, Monster Hunter, a lot of those monster hunting, little tiny dungeon based ones are all based off of Monster Hunter, if not very closely, loosely based off each other. And I think that's where the difference is. It was the idea of having voice chat before voice chat. So the idea was, okay, I'm talking with this guy person to person. He has a game, I have a game, and we're going to play together. But the game, I mean, come on. Monster Hunter originally was on the PS2, which we know was, you know, not the greatest in North America. But that's where when it came to PSP, because it had ad hoc mode, which allowed people to play together, and the idea that it allowed us to connect with other people. And I think that's where the difference comes in, is the connection that we build with people playing those types of games. And those games on the PSP, especially even coming up to the point of where even on the 3DS of having Monster Hunter 3, the chat systems in-game are terrible. Let's be honest. Even Monster Hunter Worlds, unless you're in a party or using voice chat, the actual non-voice chat systems in those games to communicate are a pain in the butt. But that's where having that person sitting beside you, where you're playing a boss, you've got your 3DS in front of you, and you're like, oh no, I'm dying, come help me. And they can hear you directly and see you and see your face as you're struggling, or see that you're doing well, or see the confidence in you, which boosts your confidence. And it's just kind of a way for, especially many years ago when nerds weren't as accepted as they are today, it was one of those things where it allowed us to talk to people without having to fully open up or start a real conversation. It was the idea like, hey, I noticed you're at this gaming convention. I noticed you have a 3DS. Do you have Monster Hunter by any chance? Or do you have a PSP? Oh, do you have this game? Do you have Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker by any chance? Oh, hey, look, I have my 3DS. Hey, I noticed I have my Street Pass open and it says you do too by any chance. Do you, you know, and that's kind of the neat thing is there's a lot of things that I think ad hoc allowed us to do in that culture, which is really neat. I mean, I've personally never been to conventions, so that's where for me, like you explained your story of what brought you to Monster Hunter and what makes you feel so connected to Monster Hunter from a convention, from a personal person-to-person standing right in front of them concept. Whereas for me, I feel the same way when it comes to newer games, like online games that do it, like Destiny and Division and Wildlands and For Honor and Monster Hunter Worlds, where it's this idea that you're playing with them, but it's over voice that you're doing it. Or I'm jumping into Monster Hunter and shooting a random flare. This guy comes in and helps me out. And then,
which I want to talk about. I want to talk about in comparison to a game like For Honor. In For Honor, how does that work? Or pick a game. What game do you think is closely related to Monster Hunter Worlds?
That would be like a strictly online, or are we talking ad hoc game?
I'm talking strictly online. We haven't gotten ad hoc.
Okay, so I would say closest to Monster Hunter Worlds in the sense of that, I would say Neo would be a good close comparison.
Okay, did you play? You played Neo.
Yeah.
Did you play with random people?
Yes.
Did people jump in and help you?
Yeah.
Okay. I've never experienced that because I don't play those games like Neo or For Honor. Almost all those games you named, except for Monster Hunter, I don't play. Even when we were playing the other day, you told me to put up an SOS flare. You and I experienced a level. He had to be a level, what, 70? The Japanese guy?
Oh, no, he was just a level 172.
And he was doing a level, what?
Four quest, just because.
Four quest?
Yeah. So probably just to get the platinum.
Maybe, or maybe he, like, really wanted to help us. Yeah. I don't know what
possible. Yeah, and that's the same experience I've had with Neo, which is that, because the way it works in Neo is it's a single-player based game. It's kind of like not much like my Monster Hunter in the sense of it's an open world, it's a map. You're exploring this map to find the boss or to finish your mission. You're fighting monsters. If you die, you keep on respawning at this one point. But what you can do, the two ways that multiplayer is included in it is, one, if you're playing the game, say, Kalai, like say you're playing Neo, you're in the level, you are a person that you move so far and you die in front of someone else. Like this guy kills you. You have a flame that sits there now, which shows me, okay, someone died here, so I've got to watch out. And for two, I can actually challenge your dead body to grab your gear. Now, you don't lose the gear permanently on your end, but I can take your gear if I beat you. So the nice thing is, for someone that's a single player gamer, you might be a high level character that's doing a first level mission, by accident die. I can be like, oh, well, I'm going to go fight for this guy's gear and take him on. Where the other part that helps you, which is what a lot of people do.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Sorry, real quick about that. If you're a level 1 character taking on a level 70 character, wouldn't you get owned?
If you really suck, it's tough to beat them, that's for sure. It's definitely a very hard fight. It's not like you're just breezing past them. They are a level 70 character with level 70 stats, and you're fighting them as level 1 character for sure. But that's where it tells you your difficulty of what, like, it gives you a little rating. It's like, okay, so this person's this, and it tells you right away, this is going to be, like, this is probably you're going to die, or this is going to be challenging. It kind of gives you that little bit of a rating to let you know, you know, you might be going into a very tough battle if you want to challenge this guy. So, but the way it works is, so for in the game, if you're like me where you don't have a lot of time to play this by yourself and just get good, what I do is you stand near a shrine, you ring a bell, and you summon for someone to come in. And the way it works is, how that works is that there is also a secondary menu for people that have beaten the game or just want to earn experience without having the chance of losing their items and stuff, where they can join an event where it puts them into a queue that when someone summons the bell, it automatically warps you to them. So then they just randomly join in and help you beat the boss. And they've usually beat that level before. They have to have beaten that level before to join you. So it's kind of nice because at that point, you're having a guy that just comes in and goes, hey, look, I've beaten this before. So come over here. This is where a secret is. Come over here. Or they'll be like, hey, make sure you go up here to get this. Or, hey, with this boss, watch out because he does this kind of thing. And they just walk you through it and help you through the process and help you get better at it. And then you do the same for someone else later on, which is kind of nice.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Now, moving on, I want to talk about the fact that for the first time in a long time, Monster Hunter doesn't have ad hoc. You know, that's one of the things that is kind of endearing about Monster Hunter, the ability to find those people that have the same interest as you and play almost like an arcade feeling style. The new Monster Hunter is fun. I like it a lot, but I sometimes do miss that ad hoc. I like the fact that I could just, you know, pick up a random person and find somebody new based off the interest of Monster Hunter. Now, do you think this is going to change the game at all, Corey?
I think it changes it a little bit, but that's where I think the market that ad hoc is still very popular, like in Japan. They have continuous ad hoc games still coming out for Monster Hunter, so I don't see the issue for them. It's, like I say, the North American market wants online. Sadly, we are a culture that, in all honest opinion, when we go on a bus or we go on the subway or we go wherever, yes, if we make statements about it, people will meet us to play with us. But really, in all honesty, the odds of Kalai, you going right now to a bus stop to jump on a bus and shouting out, hey, I have Monster Hunter for the 3DS. Who else wants to play with me? Someone's going to beat you up and probably steal your 3DS.
That's a good possibility.
Yeah. So in our North American culture, I don't think it makes too much of a difference. But in Japan, they still have it. I mean, I don't know if you know, but Frontier Mode or Frontier Monster Hunter is what is still produced in Japan. It's a whole different version of it, which actually originally started on PC, surprisingly. And actually is a version that actually has come to main consoles as well as portables. So it's something where it's Monster Hunters. This isn't the first time Monster Hunters come on consoles. It's just in North America, this is the first time. So the difference is, I think with Monster Hunter and the way that Capcom's building it is they have it where there's Monster Hunter Double X or Cross, Double Cross, which is the ad hoc version. And then there's Monster Hunter Worlds for the people that don't want to play the ad hoc version. I'm sure we'll get a version for Switch that will be something different from Worlds that will be ad hoc enabled plus a little bit of online. And I think that
would be awesome.
And I think that's what we're going to see happen is I don't think ad hoc is going away anytime soon. I think that there's a culture for it for sure. It's the same idea as, like I said before, we don't talk about the news too much, but you mentioned PUBG and Fortnite coming to iOS and Android and all that, and Switch. Or not, is it Switch? Yeah, Switch. It's coming to Switch too. But the idea is, why are they doing that? People go, well, why? That seems really dumb. But I think why they're doing that is because it kind of is like the ad hoc of playing Battle Royale. I can go with you wherever I am. And like cell phones are kind of replacing the ad hoc because they're like, I can go wherever I want and play Fortnite, or I can challenge you to a game of whatever and do it while traveling. Whereas playing online portably was not easy not too long ago. Still very expensive.
Well, you give a good point with those Fortnite ports to the iOS. That would be a watered-down version, correct?
That's something that we haven't really seen. From our understanding, the news that they put out with that is it will actually connect with your PS4 account. So the idea is that if you're playing the iOS port, if you play so many matches or win so many matches, it will actually count towards your rank and your experience on your PS4 version of the game. Now, I don't know if that means it's going to be cross-play, because technically, obviously, the person on the iOS would have inferior problems to the person playing on console, and the person on console is going to be inferior to PC. But the idea that they're still connecting it as one is kind of neat. I just think you're going to have iOS be its own group of people playing against each other. PS4 is going to have its own group of people playing against each other. But the difference is all your stats are connected within. And I think that's what you're going to see Monster Hunter possibly do, which would be kind of neat. So what I mean by that, Kalai, is say you have Monster Hunter Worlds, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you like your Monster Hunter Worlds. Now, if all of a sudden for the Vita, which is dying, PlayStation would have to make another handheld. But say if they did, they made a Vita version that was like, hey, you play with the same character from Monster Hunter Worlds, but the difference is it's not online, it's only ad hoc mode, and it's only a select amount of missions, but it's $20. So you can continue going for, it's only the arena mode, and you can only fight in arena, and that's it. But it's $20, and that means you can take your Monster Hunter World character on the go, and then still continue your story when you get home.
I know, but I don't know if a watered-down version of the game would do the game justice. I feel that I would get bored very quickly after spending $20 on a game that's watered down.
Yeah, but that's why I say it's only a game that you're... It's the idea of, for example, you have a very nice computer chair, and you just bought yourself a real nice new fan, Kalai Privilege, that has a remote and turns on and off. So the idea is...
Well, if you want to talk about this fan, it also has three settings.
Oh my god. Just give me a second before we talk about this fan. So, no, but what I mean by that is the idea is you're not going to sit there, and if you go to your friend's house or you go to a convention, you're not going to be bringing your $200 computer chair and your fan with you. Right? You're going to probably find a okay version of it to do the same thing. So you're going to find a chair that can stand up and possibly an open window to play video games at a convention.
I don't know where this is going, so, but this is the weirdest analogy you've ever made.
So with that, that means that on the go, yes, it's not the same quality as Monster Hunter Worlds, but the idea is that if you can continue your story or your game on the go, even if it's just a small part of it, to still continue when you get back home, it's still the idea that you're still doing the same thing, even though it's a little watered down.
So here's a question for you. Did you play Knack?
Yes.
Did you play Knack, the iOS game?
I'm assuming it's absolute garbage.
I don't know, but if you play it, you'll get stuff for the actual Knack
game.
No,
I saw that. No. Any of those stupid ones where it's like, hey, play this version that is not connected at all to the actual game to unlock add-ons, that's garbage. I'm talking about the idea if they actually come out with a game that will continue your actual version of the game without playing it. So what I mean by that is, Kalai, did you ever own a Dreamcast?
Of course. Crazy Taxi.
Perfect. So you understood the memory card then?
A little bit, but I didn't really use it.
See, you missed the opportunity. So so for example, in Sonic Adventures 2, 1, Sonic Adventures...
Sonic sucks.
Okay, anyway, in Sonic Adventures 1, you could have these little minions that you would create and whatever or not. In the Dreamcast version, the way it worked is you could take your memory card with you and train them on a little 8-bit screen, not even 8-bit, 2-bit screen, well on the go. And then when you got back home, you pop back in your memory card and your version of it on the console would be better. And that's what I mean. I don't think that if they said to me right now, hey, Corey, guess what? So, for example, once you get far enough on Monster Hunter, you can actually send out cats to do missions for you, and they harvest for you. If Monster Hunter World said to me today I could have my cell phone and play a random whatever version of, like, a dumbed-down version of Monster Hunter to an extent where it was a QuickTime event or whatever the fuck it was, and I can earn crafting bits for Monster Hunter World, I'm going to be fucking playing that all the fucking time. Like, don't get me wrong. And that's what I mean. That's where, for me, I like that if it boosts me in the game when I get home. I don't care to play, and I don't care about if it's an inferior version or not. The difference is if they're going to make that type of version, make that a social version. So if I have my cell phone with someone else and you or me in the same room collide, and we can then join in on a mission together because we're in the same room, that then gets me more stuff when I go home, that's what I would like.
See, the lack of controller on a mission like that would be awful.
That's why I say you can't have it be the actual game.
Yeah, well, you know what would be really interesting? When you talked about sending out the cats to do missions for you.
Yeah.
That's a thing in Monster Hunter 4. You can actually send the cats out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's a thing in Monster Hunter Worlds. I'm doing it right now.
Oh, it is? Okay, I didn't realize.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. So what I'm saying is that if I could do that with a 3DS or a Vita, like if I could do that with my Vita or play some mini game that's me playing with my cat harvesting shit, I don't know, whatever they want to figure out, I don't care. If they could give me an inferior view in some janky version on my Vita that would allow me to harvest on the go, so when I'm on a bus, I can harvest materials so when I get home, I can make some badass armor, give me that, I would love it. And that's where I think when we talk about ad hoc versus online gaming, I don't think that ad hoc should die. I think it needs to stay around because, for one, there's a culture for it still. And for two, there's people that still want that. There's a reason why you look at Nintendo, the Switch is literally a mobile ad hoc system. Even if you count the idea of, so, like, for example, Kalai, if you own a Switch right now and you come to visit me and I don't own a Switch, can we still play together?
Yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. So, is it not the same as if it was an ad hoc system? The only difference is we're playing on a stupid screen, little tiny screen, instead of each of us owning our own Switch?
Well, yeah.
So, that's why I think Nintendo does so well with all of its consoles, because Nintendo builds communities and that's why their games do so well. And that's where I love Monster Hunter Worlds. I do wish there was a version that I could travel on the go with, even if it was inferior, to do something with it, to continue my game in some way, shape, or form on it. Like the idea of, what game was it now? There was a game that came out a long time ago. Now I'm trying to remember where it did have a Vita version of the game originally. And you got, JT, you can correct me if I'm wrong or find this out. And the way it worked is if you bought the PS4 version or the PS3 version of it. I know Dragon's Crown did it too, but that was crossplay. That's a completely different thing. But the way it worked is the second version was only on console, but it realized if you played on the Vita that it allowed you to transfer whatever stuff you had on your Vita to your main console, and your Vita was actually a secondary controller that you could do mini games with. I can't remember. There's lots
Monster
of games.
Monster Hunter
like
kind of did that.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter 3 did that. You could play on the Wii U.
Mm-hmm.
And then transfer the game to the version on the DS.
Yeah, and that's what I mean, right? And then the DS version. Well, the DS version was the same thing, was it not, though?
It was the exact same thing.
But speaking of the Wii U and that being a travelable version, Super Smash Brothers. Because the Super Smash Brothers for the Wii U was different than Super Smash Brothers on the 3DS. But if you boosted a character or you had a profile on the 3DS, you could transfer your... If you were to play with someone that had a Wii U, you could use your Wii 3DS as a controller and your characters would be all stored on your 3DS. And you could play with someone. So you could boost your characters on the go and then come back to the Wii U version of it and continue playing it. And it would keep all your stats and everything.
Yeah, but just your general stats, it wouldn't really boost your character.
Well, no, because you had your trainer characters. So the way it worked is, like, you had your Amiibo characters, right? So you could boost your Amiibo while on the go and then bring them back with you and put them on the Wii U. I mean, I said, that's Nintendo does it well. Let me just rephrase it that way. I mean, and that's the interesting part about this conversation is we continuously talk about, when we talk about ad hoc, in all honesty, I love the Vita. I love the PSP. Freedom Wars was good. As Greg Miller talks about Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker all the time. And then even he said himself on his last podcast that Peace Walker for him is a memory and a great game on the PSP. When it was remastered for PS3, it's not the same because you don't get that experience you got with the ad hoc on PSP. And I think that's the big thing, is that with us moving away from ad hoc for certain consoles, we're not going to get those experiences that you talk about. I'm never going to experience what you talk about, Kalai, until I have a 3DS or a Switch and I go to a convention, because I'm never going to experience, I'm not going to experience that unless I have an ad hoc game.
So let me ask you this. You don't have any ad hoc games?
Well, I do for my 3DS.
And have you played
ad hoc? And my Vita. Sorry, I have a couple on my Vita. Yes, I've played ad hoc.
All right. Let me ask you another question then. I'm gonna steer this right back to the Monster Hunter discussion.
Yeah.
You've played Monster Hunter Worlds, and now you've played an ad hoc game. Which do you think would be more fun for you? To play Monster Hunter ad hoc or to play it like Worlds?
I would play it like Worlds.
That would be more fun for you, not the ad hoc version?
The reason why I say that is because the difference between ad hoc and Worlds is that, and this is, like I say, the big thing for me, ad hoc is where you're playing a game beside someone, which means you've had to meet them in person before. Whereas online, I'm going to meet people that I would never be able to meet unless I was online. So for example, you talk about the Japanese guy that popped into our game that was level 127. I would really like if he had a mic and we could talk, and maybe he spoke English and we could talk and talk about the game or talk about culture over there. And I love that experience with people. Like that's how I met Proven Gamer. I would have never met Proven Gamer if I didn't play a game online like the one that we have.
Well, that's true. The problem I have with playing online is the fact that I'm a woman, and being a woman and playing online, you get a lot of shit. You don't get that when you're face-to-face with someone.
No, and I think that's where the nice thing is with these new games that are coming out nowadays as well. I think that's where, with the communities that are growing within these games, like, for example, there's the TW Brothels. There's the Kinda Funny group, which is how I met Tricky. It's how I met a lot of you guys. It's actually how I experienced my first unique experience with a online multiplayer game. Because I will admit, Kalai, yes, even for me, playing online with people, random people, people could be assholes. Let's just put it out there. Some people are straight up assholes and dicks. And in all honesty, when you go online and you open it to, hey, I'm going to have some random people that I have no idea who they are. I have no idea where they're from. I have no idea the shit that they've done today. I'm going to hopefully play games with them and hope, like I used to play MMOs where you'd be playing, like with my fiance, like with Kathy, where she played MMOs and stuff. We'd play with groups sometimes where they were like, she would say, hey, it's my first time doing this. And we had groups that were like, hey, no, we completely understand. We'll walk you through this. We'll take you through this. Don't worry about it. We'll tell you what to watch out for. Don't worry about it. And those are the people that would add us as friends afterwards. We'd also have groups where we'd jump in. She would say it's her first time and she would do something wrong, or I would do something wrong and be like, oh, you stupid, blah, blah, blah. We died. This is why it's your... And I get that. And that's where I think the cool thing with the PS4, at least, and with the Xbox One, is we're finally having it where you can have communities with inside a group without having a group. So what I mean by that is kind of funny. When I reached out to... When I did the Wildlands beta, for those who don't know, I was in the Kinda Funny group, and I put a post out saying, I'm gonna do a stream tonight of the Wildlands beta. I would love if some Kinda Funny friends joined me on this beta, because I know that those types of people, they don't judge as much as other groups. And so I had a gentleman that jumped in with me, and he's like, yeah, let's do this. He's like, I'm like, oh, cool. I'm like, where are you from? And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm from here. And he's like, oh, did you listen to the Kinda Funny episode? I'm like, yeah, I did. He's like, oh, man, Greg was so cool today. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, he's like, oh, man. He's like, what games have you played before? And it's because we already had one connection before that kind of helped us. And I think that's the benefit, too, with going to a convention with ad hoc. It's kind of the same thing. When you're going to a PAX con, everybody is going to PAX because they like PAX. Like, no one's going to PAX going, oh, man, I hate PAX, right? You're going to a convention, in layman's terms, for people that like video games or like the things at PAX. So there is a good chance the people you meet during those experiences will have a connection with you at that point. And a person that you meet that has a 3DS, that has Monster Hunter, that likes that experience of Monster Hunter, odds are they're probably going to be in that same category of thing. And that's the neat thing I like about Monster Hunter Worlds, is I think the reason why Worlds does so well online and why people like it so much is because we've got all the people that were playing the ad hoc Monster Hunter Worlds, and the nice people that were doing that are coming over to Monster Hunter World and playing the game. You're not seeing a lot of people that are these like, I'm going to grind this game and, oh, don't screw up or otherwise I'm going to ban you and whatever, because those types of people don't play this type of, or they might play this game now, but they didn't play this type of game before. So the people that was the big push for when Monster Hunter World hit the first scene and Monster Hunter first came out, the people that bought it day one, the people that were playing it nonstop, the people that are the high levels right now are people that understand what ad hoc is and understand the idea of just making friends. And I think that's why Monster Hunter works so well. And like I say, there are games that do that very well as well. That sounds really terrible sentence and English, but good thing I run our Twitter.
it's been a long day.
Yeah, and I think that's why certain games like that do so well. It's because when you look at those types of games, it's the culture that was built on the previous versions that come to the new version are what build that version of that game. And like I say, that's why when Final Fantasy 14, the MMO version of Final Fantasy, I think there's a reason why that culture, even though, yes, there are the groups that I've joined that are complete dicks, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of more people that for every one dick, there's about 1,000 people that are super nice. And the reason is for that is because you think about it, how many Final Fantasy fans do you know that are like, oh man, you don't understand. You've got to like grind this and grind that. And you got to like have this stacked and this stacked. No, when you talk to Final Fantasy people about you're having trouble in a Final Fantasy game, they have the same exact experience that you would have in a Monster Hunter. The difference is that also the people that play Final Fantasy games, they're playing it for the story. They're playing it for the journey. They're playing it for the experience of playing with other people. Yes, you're a single player game, but it's the experience of playing as someone else in a world that you want to just immerse yourself in. So obviously, if you're going to play an MMO based on that, you're not going to immerse yourself in an MMO and go, hey, I'm going to play Final Fantasy 14 like a complete prick and just grind my way and not care about anybody else. No, you're going to play it like you played Final Fantasy, which is joining in this world and enjoying it and embellishing the world. There's a reason why I've never seen Final Fantasy 14 has a marriage system that does very well. There are brothels in Final Fantasy 14 of people that 100% like have, and I've mentioned this before about the brothels, but not that I've been to any of them because they're too expensive. But there's these people that build these worlds within this game, and the reason why they do that, because I watched the interview on it when they talked about the brothel, and one thing they said, this is a game where the people that we have that are clients that come into these brothels are people that would probably never put themselves in a situation like this in real life. And it's not that they're doing perverted things. It's the idea that these are people that can't communicate in a social, like in a real world setting. They have a hard time with communicating. But behind a character, they find they can do it. And it's even just connecting in that way. And I think that's the thing with Final Fantasy 14 that does really well, is people find it easier to connect in a world where there's someone else. And I think it's the same idea when you look at Monster Hunter. When like we saw that Japanese guy, we're like, oh man, he's badass. He's level 147. He's kicking that whatever guy's ass. And he's just wrecking things. He could have been a serial killer for all we know. But we judged him based on what he looked like in the game. And that he helped us out.
Armor.
And that he helped us out. And just because of that, we think he's a nice person. Hopefully he is.
I think you hit the nail right on the head, so to speak. So, Corey, let's wrap this up.
Are we really that... Holy crap, have we been talking that long?
Yeah.
Or I guess if I've been talking for that... Holy Jesus.
We have some sponsors. If they want to buy Monster Hunter, where should they go, Corey?
Oh, yeah. So any of the stuff we talked about today, because, you know, for the next convention, especially PAX East that's coming up, if you don't have a 3DS, a Switch, a Vita, any type of system where you can connect with Kalai, because she'll just bring them all in a bag anyway, you should just go to the Proven Gamer website, click the Amazon link, and buy all the shit there. And because you have Prime, it'll get there quick enough for you to do a lot of extra stuff. Plus, with Prime, if you have Amazon Prime, you also get Twitch Prime, which means you can throw a subscription over to us on Proven Gamer on Twitch. As well as, with that, a lot of games that we're talking about today get bonus shit on Twitch Prime. And that's amazing.
Good. And you know the free game they're giving out right now?
They give free games out on Twitch?
Yeah.
Jesus.
For PC.
Oh, okay. That's why I don't care.
What's the game that Joe's looking forward to?
Devil May Cry.
And they're giving that away for free right now for PC.
For PC.
Yes. But you can also get stuff like in-game stuff for Fortnite, which you just got.
Yeah, I already claimed that. Also for Warframe, which I play that for free-to-play games. Also Terror, I think, has given stuff away before, which I'm playing that. If I'm correct, Monster Hunter was talking about it. They were talking about it.
They haven't done it yet. The Blizzard game.
Hearthstone?
Hearthstone they gave away.
Overwatch they've given. Game. Overwatch.
That's it. Overwatch.
Yeah,
it's been a long night, guys.
A long night and a lot of non-video games. I'm just edging to play something. I don't know. The problem is now, and this is the one problem that I will admit with my online games compared to ad hoc games, is online games have daily logins, and it's terrible. It's like literally, I have to like literally sit there on my console for 30 minutes before I even play a friggin' game, because it's like, okay, so I've turned my PS4 on, log into Fortnite, get my daily in Fortnite, make sure I claim all my points, use all my points, put my points into the skills I need. Then after that, then I have to go into probably Battlefield, claim my, if there is a daily, claim it. If there's not, fuck it. Then from there, I go into Monster Hunter, claim my daily, check to see the board, see what new events there are today, do that, log out of that, go into Warframe, get my daily, continue doing that, log out of that. I also play Neverwinter. I have a VIP status, so I go into that, claim my daily, log out of that.
So I have a question for you. If the listeners want to get in touch with you and play those games with you, how do they do that?
They can find me on the PlayStation Network at Aguyu, A-G-U-Y-U. Also, you guys let us know, especially you, JT, we're thinking about possibly making a PlayStation community group, but we don't know if we need to. So we're going to put it to a vote on our Twitch or Twitter. We're going to put it to a vote on our Twitter, and you guys can vote to see if we actually need a separate community, just because I know Trophy Horror, the TW Brothel, is very trophy based. Yeah, we want to be more just about discussion about video games and just playing everything. And not be those people that judge you. We're not going to judge you if you want to play with us. I don't care. I'm not going to judge you. We just want to play with you. I mean, in a professional, person-to-person, Monster Hunter game style way. I don't know how that sounded on the internet, but hopefully I'm not going to be written up in the papers for sexual harassment after this podcast. But if I am, at least we'll get a lot of views. Thank goodness. Yeah, and then other than that, you can find me on Steam at The Grounded Gamer, no E-double-D, and you can also find me on Twitter at The Grounded Gamer, no E-double-D, and I also run the game stuff Twitter, which is at GameStuffCast, which also I'm a little bit of control of, but also sometimes Kalai takes control of it, so if you see me comment, it's not me just commenting on my own comment. It is probably usually Kalai posting at that point, or someone else. Who knows? Maybe it's a ghost. Maybe it's a mouse. Maybe it's a teddy bear. Maybe it's Joe.
Your cat.
Or it's my cat. Well, my cat doesn't need to post on game stuff. He has enough followers. He can just
Screw your cat.
The cat's got 3,000 followers. Can't believe it. I'm also gonna make a Twitter thing, as if you think I should just give up on life because my cat's got more Twitter followers than me. I'll make that personal post. I'll share it out. Yeah, so Kalai, where can they find you, though?
They can find me on Steam at Kalai21, that's K-A-L-A-I, the number 21. They can find me on Twitter, the same handle. They can find me on the PlayStation Network at Miley, M-A-I-L-E, 1978. They can find me on Xbox at Miley21. And you can find me in the Game Stuff Podcast Facebook group, chatting it up. So please come join me. Now, if you like this show, you should check out our other shows. We have The Trophy Horse, which is our flagship podcast for PlayStation. We have Nintendo Dual Screens, which if you like Nintendo, they do a better job at Nintendo than us.
Oh, and they get some sick interviews. You guys, oh man, the interviews they get, craziness. I mean, I'm hoping that we can get to that point one day. I mean, oh, it's craziness. I listened to Last Stuff, like interviewing the guy that made Castlevania.
We also have the Smart Marks podcast, which is our wrestling podcast.
Which only person out of this group that listens to that is Joe. I don't do wrestling. I know I'm seen as a... I guess you don't do wrestling either. Well, at least there's two of us that don't do that. I feel okay now.
I also would like to thank Isaac Sago for making our logo. You can find him at isaacsago.carbonmade.com. You can find a link in our show notes. Our intro song is done by Take Away the Ugly. The song we use is Don't Panic. Again, the link to their SoundCloud? Oh, no, I'm sorry. The link to their Bandcamp will be in the show notes. So, thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode of Game Stuff.
Catch you guys later. And stay grounded.